Our scripture reading today comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. I invite you to take out your Bible and follow along as we hear the good news. Listen. It says, train yourself for a holy life. While physical training has some value, training in holy living is useful for everything. It has promise for this life now and the life to come. This saying is reliable and deserves complete acceptance. We work and struggle for this. Our hope is set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we worship you, may we work and struggle for the greatest reward, the fulfillment of our faith in hope, eternity with you, the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He was only a child when Jesus was crucified on the cross. Yet he grew up in the faith passed down to him from his mother, passed down to her from her mother. And then they each experienced the power of Christ in their lives, and they made sure that he knew the truth about Jesus. Known as Timothy, he was a young man growing in the faith, and he left home to travel with the Apostle Paul. And during those years, he grew, maturing in the faith and in doctrine and what it means to follow Jesus. Paul took Timothy under his wing. He mentored him, and Paul knew that Timothy would someday be a model for ministry for others. And he was right, because Timothy went on to eventually lead churches in Corinth, Thessaloniki, and Philippi. And one day, he would become the bishop of Ephesus. But Paul and Timothy were like us. They were like you and I. They were so much like us that Scripture records their struggles. Paul admits that he often failed in not doing what he wanted to do, what he knows he should have done, he didn't do. And then he also failed in not doing what he shouldn't have done, or in doing what he shouldn't have done. The things he knew he shouldn't have done, he struggled and sometimes did them. In addition to that, he faced hardships and persecution and just plain old bad days. But he looked on Timothy as a son, and he always encouraged him. And even though Timothy grew up strong in the faith, and he spent years at the side of Paul, learning from one of the most prolific Christians in history, there were times when Timothy struggled. There were days when he stressed out about himself and about the church. There were days when he was hurt by the communities he was trying to reach and evangelize, and days when he was hurt by the people he was shepherding. And even yet, as both Paul and Timothy were surrounded by the Roman and Greek warrior culture, with the Colosseums and the ancient games, where athletes trained to compete against one another and often hurt each other, Paul cheers Timothy on. Train yourself, he says. Train yourself spiritually, like an athlete would train himself physically. Physical training is good. It helps you take care of yourself, so take care of yourself physically. Yet spiritual training is even more important, because spiritual training makes us stronger spiritually, so that in every aspect we can live a holy life, a better life, a life more like Jesus. You know, just thinking of this, I reminisce to when I was younger and I would work out hard. I would train on a regular basis. I could do about 130 push-ups in less than 2 minutes. But it took time to build that strength. It took training. And today, it's obvious I don't work that hard anymore. can only do about 50 push-ups in 2 minutes now. But the same thing happens with our spiritual training, with our spiritual life. When we work at it, when we train, we become spiritually stronger. And it affects every aspect of our life. Because the more we do this, we find that our faith goes deeper because we become more patient. We find that we're not offended as easily. We learn to overlook the little things or the things where people might try to hurt us, regardless of what we hear on the news or on social media or what the person down the street said. We're able to take that in stride. But more than just what we can handle, we also learn to encourage others. We learn to build up the community of faith. We learn to help others out in need, to encourage them, to mentor them, to show them the grace and the love of God. And as a result, we get better at life and make life better through Jesus Christ. But Paul says that that reward is not our only reward. That when our time here is done, when we accomplish what we were set to accomplish through our spiritual growth, it will not only benefit us here and now in this life, it will benefit us in the life to come. But more than that, it will help bring other people into salvation. But that's because our hope isn't in ourselves or in our own strength. No, our hope, our goal in life, our faith isn't about becoming the perfect physical specimen. It's not about being the best student or teacher or worker. It's not even becoming the best hunter or fisher. And it's not being the best doctor or lawyer or entrepreneur or politician. No, our hope, our goal, our faith is in a living God. And we are reminded that the greatest thing that we can work towards, that I can work towards, that you can work towards, is following and living for a resurrected God in Jesus Christ, because He is our salvation. He's my salvation. He's your salvation. And He's the salvation for everyone who doesn't even know Him yet. But the question is, who is going to bring the good news to those that don't know the good news of Jesus? My hope is that it's us. My hope is that we are willing to do the good, hard work of doing anything, whatever it takes, short of sin, to bring people to Christ. And maybe that sounds a little crazy, maybe it sounds a little extreme, but when I look at the life of Jesus, He did some things that were just a little bit crazy. Because through His life, death, in resurrection, Jesus took our sin upon Himself on that cross so that we wouldn't have it anymore. So that we could have eternal life. But there's still a whole lot of people out there who are looking for something. They're looking for more. They're looking for eternal life. And Jesus is offering it to them. Yeah, here's the catch. It's not something they're going to find on their own. He sent us to make that offer. He's offering all of His love and all of His grace and all of His promises through us, through me, through you. Are we willing to do the good work it takes to share that good message, the good news of Jesus? Are you willing to live a life that leaves a legacy with your family, with your friends, with your church, with your community, so that more people will come to God because of what you did, because of what you gave, because of how you served? How will you be known? How will this church be known? Let's start with where we are right now, how we're known now. We're in a pretty prominent place. We're right next to the hospital. We're right by the school district. There are a lot of people, many people that drive by us every single day. What do they think when they drive by? Do they know who we are? Do they know that we have an amazing community full of loving, grace-filled, kingdom-building people? In fact, it was on full display last Sunday. Earlier, I talked about how proud of you I was, but I mean, we came together, so many of us came together to assemble and decorate and celebrate for our trick or trunk. We welcomed hundreds of people from all across the community. There were even people from out of state. And they were here and they brought their families. And some were just simply out having a good time with their kids. Some were glad to have a safe place to bring their family and their children and their grandchildren. But many expressed thanks. Their gratitude was for the hospitality and the love that they experienced through our warmth and the food and the games and the fun and the prizes. They were essentially thankful for your expressions of love. And it was a great evening that opened up our spiritual doors, that opened up our presence, the presence of Christ, to the community and invited them in to be community with us. And that invitation didn't end when we packed up that night. That invitation is still open. So whether you're here today for the first time or you're worshiping with us online or on the broadcast for the first time, that invitation is still open for you to be with us. It's always open for someone to be with us, to call on us for help, to worship with us, to serve with us, and to be our guest until they become family. And we have room for more. We have room to bring more in, to train more up, and to send out more people willing to love their neighbor by picking up their cross with us and following Jesus. Finally, as we celebrate the saints who have gone on before us, we remember those who have left a legacy behind today that through following Christ, they provided a place. They came together in community and they served Jesus, building the kingdom of God right here. What will be your legacy? When people see us, I pray that they experience our hospitality that proves that they are genuinely welcome here. I pray that when they come to trick or trunk, when they come to All Saints Sunday, that when they come to Christmas Eve or Good Friday or Easter services or even to a regular Sunday service, I pray that when they come here, they come and they leave knowing that they are welcome to be a part of our family. They're welcome into our family. And I pray that through us, they experience the grace of God and that their spirit is lifted up and encouraged. And I pray that they see and they know that this church is making a real difference in people's lives, a real difference in this community, that we're changing lives, that we're making disciples, and that as we share the good news of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, I pray that they want to be a part of it. Amen.